This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
He is just an obsessive goal scorer.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu blinks it back.
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Look in the area to Bobby! Oh, what a start!
What I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to House of Champions. We've got an Arsenal special for all of you crazy Gunners fans. Thanks a lot for tuning in. So don't hesitate to ask Fab any questions or queries that you have over Arsenal. We've got him for the next 20 minutes or so. Fab, how are you doing, my friend? Great to have you back on.
Hey, my friend. My pleasure, as always. I'm great, ready for this transfer window and ready to answer all the questions because for Arsenal is an incredible moment. And so I can feel the excitement of the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. As you attested, Arsenal already, top of the Premier League, looking good at this moment in time. Fingers crossed for them it stays that way. But no better place to start than Mudryk. So let's get you on that to start with. Is there any update there? Is there a new offer in, perhaps?
Yes, we can say that after negotiations still ongoing between Arsenal and Shakhtar, because the two clubs have been in touch for a really long time and weeks. Now we can say that Arsenal have improved their proposal. I'm still checking to understand how much Arsenal have offered, because now all sources want to keep things quiet after Shakhtar rejected the opening proposal. It was 40 million euros plus 20 in add-ons. Shakhtar said no. They always stated in public they wanted close to 100 million for Mykhailo Mudryk, as they consider him a top talent, as Antony, Jack Grealish, many players with big moves in the Premier League. But the feeling has always been that Shakhtar could accept something less than 100 million euros package. So this is why the negotiations are still ongoing. Let's see what Shakhtar will decide after this new approach from Arsenal. The two clubs, again, are still in direct contact. So the negotiation is ongoing. It's a good relationship, but now it's time to be fast, because also Chelsea are interested in Mykhailo Mudryk. We know that for the player, the priority has always been Arsenal. He would be more than happy for what I told of joining Arsenal. But the Cody Gakpo story a few weeks ago shows that sometimes you have to be fast. You have to close the negotiations. Otherwise, other clubs can jump into it and move faster. So this is the case. Arsenal know that they have to be fast. They have improved the proposal. Let's see what Shakhtar will say. At the moment, Chelsea are interested, but at the moment it's not that advanced. So Arsenal remain the priority for the player, for Shakhtar, but it's up to the two clubs now to find an agreement.
Any updates on actually where Mudryk himself is at the moment? I know that Arsenal Twitter has been alight with people speculating about whether he's in a hotel room somewhere in London or, fact, if he's actually just close to home.
I think he's not in London yet. He's waiting, for sure he's waiting, because it's no secret that he wants to play in Premier League. It's no secret that he would love to join Arsenal. I think also in his Instagram stories in the last few days, it was pretty clear. He was watching the game with Edin Ketia scoring the third goal and then posting again about Roberto De Zerbi and Mikel Arteta, so the messages were pretty clear. But now it's on Arsenal. They have to find an agreement with Shakhtar, because Chelsea are there, and We know, again, after Cody Gakpo, how the timing in January is really important, because, for example, in the summer transfer window, you have 3 months, and so the negotiations are way longer. But now, in January, it's a few weeks. Shakhtar also have interest in having a final answer as soon as possible. And so let's see how it will continue. But for Arsenal, it's a priority, and for the player, too. He wants to move to the Premier League in January.
And as well as Mudryk, another name that is never far from the headlines at this moment in time is Joao Felix. You know, we have a question that's just been put in here saying, will Felix go to either Manchester United or Arsenal? Because Manchester United already spent a lot of money in the summer. Can they afford another spending of a similar size in the winter window?
So honestly, for Joao Felix, first of all, on Arsenal, I think their focus now is Mudryk. They had conversations, both clubs had conversations with Jorge Mendes. He's been in England multiple days to have conversations with these clubs, Arsenal, Man United, also with Chelsea, but Chelsea considered they have Mason Mount in that position. Christopher Nkunku is joining in the summer, so with Chelsea at the moment is quiet. Arsenal and Manchester United have explored this possibility. They know the conditions of the deal. The real problem is that for Atletico Madrid is more than 100 million euros if these clubs want to sign Joao Felix on a permanent deal. Otherwise, for a loan, it has to be a huge loan fee plus the salary of the second part of the season. So in total, it's around 18, 19 million euros for just 5-6 months, and with no guarantee of signing the player in the summer. So this is why at the moment both clubs are waiting to see what kind of conditions there will be maybe in a few weeks, because as of now Arsenal and Man United are not accepting the conditions of Atletico Madrid. Let's see what Atletico will decide too. So at the moment is not an easy one, but for sure England is the potential destination because Paris Saint-Germain are not interested. To answer the question, Manchester United, they've been in touch with Jorge Mendes, so for sure Joao Felix is a player they have in the list, but it depends on the financial conditions. And for Arsenal, my feeling is the priority is Mykhailo Mudryk. I don't see Arsenal signing two players in that position. Also because, as we mentioned, they are top of the Premier League. Martinelli, Saka, all the offensive players are doing fantastic. And so to include more than one player could be also a potential problem for Arteta. This is why I think they will go for one player in that position. And Mudryk is the priority now. But Joao Felix is a player they appreciate. Again, depends on Atletico, because with 18, 19 million euros for 5-6 months is something that at the moment is complicated.
Yeah, and an interesting move from Arsenal in the last couple of days has been activating some of the clauses in some players' contracts, notably William Saliba, to extend him. But is it your understanding that there are still negotiations to sort out a long-term extension, and that was just something that was in the contract that Arsenal had the power to activate anyway?
Yes, 100%. So, as you mentioned, they trigger all the clauses. Bukayo Saka, William Saliba, is absolutely normal they proceed like this. Also, Charlie Patino, who is really talented, that they consider him a player for the future. He had this clause to extend the contract till 2025. But for all these players, Arsenal are already in negotiations to offer them a new long-term deal. So, Bukayo Saka, there are discussions ongoing. The player loves the club, and Arsenal are discussing with him on a potential new long-term deal. William Saliba was not an easy one because he returned from Marseille, and we know that was not an easy situation with Arsenal because he was sent on loan in an important moment of his career. But then everything changed. I think Edu Arteta did an excellent job with him. Now he's an important player and he feels the love of Arsenal fans and also of the club, of the manager. And this is why negotiations are ongoing also with Saliba. And then also Gabriel Martinelli, because in Gabriel Martinelli contract, there was no clause to extend for just one more year, but longer. But the priority for Arsenal is to have a new deal signed very soon. Negotiations are very advanced with Martinelli. So Arsenal have a very good relationship with his agents, and they hope to complete these three contract extensions in the next weeks or months.
Now, one player who was linked heavily with Arsenal during the summer transfer window was Aston Villa's Douglas Luiz. Obviously, he's part of the Aston Villa team that won away at Tottenham Hotspur over the weekend, so no better way to endear yourself to the Arsenal fans than being able to show that you can beat Spurs already. But we know that since then, he extended his contract at Villa Park. Has there been any sort of new interest from Arsenal to potentially trying to see what happens with Douglas Luiz? Obviously, there's been a change of coach at Villa as well, with Unai Emery there now. Do you get the impression that that's something that Arsenal are leaving behind, or is it something that they could perhaps come back and revisit?
No, for sure. Arsenal, first of all, have excellent relationship with his agents, and this is an important point. This is why Arsenal tried to attack the player in the final days of the summer transfer window, but then Aston Villa were really strong on their position. They didn't want to sell Douglas Luiz, and also they've been able to extend this contract, and that was absolutely not easy. So congrats to Aston Villa, because to extend the contract in October, in November, when the player is requested by many top clubs, was not easy at all. But at the moment for Arsenal, he remains a player appreciated, but at the moment it's not a direct negotiation with Aston Villa. Villa. So it's still a quiet one. I think the real focus is to get Mudryk as soon as possible. So this is why they're working on that one. And then we have to see for the midfielder and potentially for the right back, because it depends on Cedric Suarez, if he will go on loan, if he will stay at the club. So there are some things, midfielder, right back, depending on the evolution of the situation. But now the priority is Mykhailo Mudryk. So Douglas Luiz is appreciated, but many clubs are following him. For example, also Atletico Madrid in Spain and many others. So it remains an open situation. But my feeling, as you mentioned, after Unai Emery arrived and now Aston Villa are doing very well, I think they will try to keep the player at least until the end of the season and maybe letting go in the summer.
Well, you've got a couple of questions coming in as well. You've got this one here from Hasdeman95. Any update on midfielders? Example, Danilo Torres. You know, is there anyone else that Arsenal are perhaps considering after they potentially, you know, solve the Mudryk situation?
Well, Danilo from Palmeiras is a player they always appreciated. Also, he was on the list also last summer, but now there were no fresh contacts with Palmeiras. So at the moment, it's still a quiet situation. For Torres, they just scouted him, but never in advanced negotiations to sign Torres. I think Danilo is a player they really appreciate because he has kind of skills to play for Arsenal. Also, as a good level, even if he's not playing in Europe, to move to European football and make an impact. But at the moment, it's not something concrete. It's not something advanced. So we have to see for the midfielder. I think we have to wait a bit and see also, because for Danilo is around 40 million. And I think the real secret for Arsenal to change the situation, we still remember how complicated it was 1 year and a half ago when Mikel Arteta lost 4 games. He was in doubt. We still remember the situation. The vision of the club made the difference. Arteta, together with Edu, together with the world board, to decide on every single target. This is what they will do also in January. They will act only if they are 100% convinced of the player, as they are of Mykhailo Mudryk. So this is why the vision is going to be key. And for the midfielder, at the moment, they have still not decided who is the right player to attack. They have men in the list, but the priority is Mudryk now.
There's an interesting situation, or a couple of interesting situations, developing in France as well. Arsenal have two loanees out here at the moment. You've got Balogun at Reims, and you've also got Tavares at Marseille. Both players doing very, very well so far this season. Balogun in particular, you know, obviously a subject of interest for many US MNT fans as well, because he is potentially eligible to represent the United States. Has there been any update in, you know, Arsenal's thinking on the topic of these two players? Are they players that the Gunners plan to bring back and maybe give a chance at the end of the season? Because it does sound like both will at least finish the campaign in France.
Yes, both will finish the campaign in France for sure. We had rumors on Balogun as an opportunity for Arsenal to replace Gabriel Jesus, but I'm told that Arsenal always wanted him to continue at Reims. He's doing fantastic, as you mentioned. They want him to be a starter, to play, to score goals, to make experience. So this is why he's not changing in January. And then they will decide in the summer for both Balogun and Nuno Tavares. I think Nuno Tavares has a good chance to stay, because Arsenal always trusted him. Last summer, Atalanta wanted the player on loan with an obligation to buy clothes, and Arsenal said no, because they wanted to keep the player for long term. So I think, as he's doing very well, there is a chance for him to stay in Arsenal squad next summer. For Balogun, we have to say what happens, of course, with Edin Ketia, with Gabriel Jesus, and with more strikers. But they will decide in the summer. Nothing is decided now. I expect both of them to stay in France and then to complete the season there. Personally, I think Nuno Tavares is today one of the best left backs in Europe. He's doing very good. His left foot is making the difference for Olympique Marseille. So he's a very good player, a very important player. And this is why I think Arsenal will give him a chance next summer.
Well, you've got a bit of an SMS alert coming through. Milinkovic-Savic, I don't think we've had many of these chats where his name hasn't at least cropped up once. Anything at all on the radar for him?
No, I'm sorry to give always the same answer on Milinkovic-Savic to Arsenal fans, but it's still the same. Lazio want more than 100 million euros for him, so it's a huge fee. Lazio don't want to sell the player in January. We will see in the summer, because he's out of contract in summer 2024. So in summer we will see, but now I think it's going to be really difficult, and Lazio's mission is to keep the player. So at the moment there are no negotiations, nothing concrete.
Fantastic stuff. Well, guys, we are benefiting from Fabrizio Romano's unrivaled insight. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back after the break. So make sure your question's in if you want him to potentially respond before the end of this chat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to House of Champions. We're joined by Fabrizio Romano for this Arsenal special. And if you're an American soccer fan following the Stars and Stripes, then make sure to check out another great pod in the CBS Sports Podcast family. In Soccer We Trust, former USMNT stars Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce, and Charlie Davies previewing and reacting to every US match with perspective that only they can offer. So download and subscribe to that in Soccer We Trust podcast anywhere that you find this one. And also, don't miss today's In Soccer We Trust special at 1 p.m. ET. The guys will be welcoming Fab back on for a CONCACAF transfer special, so make sure to put that on your alerts. Fab, great to have you. Let's jump straight back into it. What's the latest on Enzo Fernandez?
Yes, for Enzo Fernandez, it's going to be a really important week because at the moment, honestly, there are no fresh updates. Chelsea and Benfica are in negotiation. They are speaking. Let's see what Benfica would decide. A similar situation to Mudryk, but in this case for a different price, of course, different player, but it's on the club now. Benfica president Rui Costa always stated in public and in private that they wanted the release clause, 120 million euros in one solution or nothing. Now Chelsea are tempting Benfica because they are proposing almost the same fee but with completely different payment terms, and so this is why it's on Benfica now. They're waiting for Benfica to decide. They're still in contact with the club. Enzo Fernandez wants the move because Enzo would love to join Chelsea, but he played against Braga because he will always be respectful with Benfica. In case he will stay at Benfica, he doesn't want to create any problem. It's the club who changed his life, and so it's absolutely normal for Enzo to be respectful. But at the same point, Chelsea are still pushing, insisting they have an agreement ready with the player. So it's on Benfica now, and it's especially on the president, Manuel Rui Costa, who has to decide what he wants to do. So let's see, because this week will be crucial. I don't see this deal, from what I'm told, as one who will go to the final days or final weeks of the window. For Benfica, is yes or no in few days. And so this week, it would be really important to understand if Chelsea will be able to sign Enzo Fernandez.
Well, you've got Badiashile already coming in at Chelsea. So do you think that, you know, Fernandez could potentially be the next, player through the door for Chelsea?
Yes, I think this is the priority, the midfield now, because as you mentioned, Badiashile is a done deal. The player is in London today to have his medical. The contracts are ready between Chelsea and Monaco for 38 million euros. So everything is done between clubs. The player will sign later today. So they have a new centre-back, a new left-footed centre-back, which was a priority for Graham Potter. And now, yes, the priority is the midfield. Is to discuss again with Benfica for Enzo, is to decide on N'Golo Kante situation and Jorginho situation in the next months, because there will be conversations to understand their contract. What Chelsea want to do, what the player wants to do. And then we will see, because it's not just Enzo Fernandez. They are following many players. They want to try for Jude Bellingham too in the summer, but we know that Liverpool are pushing with Jurgen Klopp since long time. Real Madrid and Manchester City are also in the race. So for Bellingham, it's going to be a long fight. But for Chelsea, the midfield is now going to be the priority, together with a potential new winger. Because I mentioned Mudryk before, we know that Arsenal is the priority, but Chelsea are also exploring the market for a potential new winger and new midfielder.
Excellent stuff. And there's also reports out that Romelu Lukaku wants to stay at Inter. Obviously not the best moment of his career at this moment in time, and you'd expect that form will probably dictate that. I don't know if that means that Inter might not be willing to sort of pay the money that would be necessary to turn that into a permanent deal. Do you have any updates on that situation, Fab?
Yes, I think it's pretty clear. Romelu Lukaku wants to stay at Inter, and Romelu Lukaku has no intention to go back to Chelsea. I think this is very clear. At the same time, the first part of the season for Lukaku was a big problem because he almost never played for Inter. He was always injured, and this is why I think the second part of the season will be crucial to understand if Inter will proceed and negotiate with Chelsea for maybe one more year of loan or maybe for a permanent deal. We will see. But at the moment, there are not even negotiations between clubs because Inter want to make sure that Lukaku is fit in the second part of the season, can make the difference in the second part of the season, and then they would be happy to negotiate with Chelsea. But for sure, on player side, as he stated in public, but also I'm told in private, the intention is very clear. He wants to stay at Inter, he wants to continue at Inter, and I think Chelsea are already thinking on different strikers for the future. So this is why the best way would be to find a way together, Chelsea and Inter, for Romelu Lukaku, but it also depends on what happens in the second part of the season.
And now, you know, one of the big transfer stories the last couple of weeks has obviously been Cristiano Ronaldo moving to Saudi Arabia. He's on his way there today for his official unveiling with the club, Al Nassr. Are you hearing anything potentially about their transfer plans of, you know, how to build that team around CR7? You know, there's been rumors as well that Sergio Ramos is a player who's quite high on their list of priorities. Is there anything that you're hearing on that front?
First of all, I want to say congrats to our James Bench for the news because it was a bomb. And so to mention about Cristiano Ronaldo and Al Nassr was a really important one. And congrats to Al Nassr also because signing Cristiano is a big statement, and they want to continue. To answer your question, they want to continue because it's true that Sergio Ramos is one of the players they approached in case he will decide not to stay at Paris Saint-Germain. It's still open between PSG and Ramos because there is a conversation over potential one-year contract extension. So nothing is decided yet, but it's true that Al Nassr are thinking of Sergio Ramos. They also had some approaches with people close to N'Golo Kanté, but as mentioned, now Kanté is back in discussions with Chelsea over potential new contract. So we will see, but I'm sure that in the summer they will go for one, two important players to rebuild the team and to help Cristiano Ronaldo to fill around stars. So this will be the mission, but for sure Al Nassr will be busy, and these are just some of the names they are approaching. So keep an eye on potential free agents, I mean in the summer 2023, and then we will see what they will do.
Yeah, quite right to point out James Benj breaking that massive story. Ben Jacobs as well doing some fine work with that. So thanks to both of our colleagues there. Speaking of free agents, Lovren joining Lyon. Is there any other potential moves for any Croatians, you know, post-World Cup? Because obviously, you know, a very, very impressive showing, you know, finishing third. So, you know, are you expecting any of the other members of that World Cup squad to perhaps be on the move now, or are they likely to wait until the summer?
First of all, I think this is a very interesting one for Lyon because he's an experienced centre-back, wasn't very well with the national team, and it's always been a very good one. So good signing for Lyon on a two-year deal. And I think we have to keep an eye on Josip Juranovic, the right-back. He had a fantastic game with Brazil at the World Cup. He's a very good right-back, doing very well for Celtic. They already signed his replacement, and this is why there is a chance he will leave in this January transfer window. So let's see if some English club looking for a new right-back will explore this possibility. Some Italian club also approached the agents of Juranovic, but at the moment it's still an open one. I think this is one to watch in the second part of January, and Juranovic could be the name, because I think for the big ones nothing is going to happen in January.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left with Fab, so we'll get to some of the questions that you've been sending in. Do keep them coming. We do always appreciate your input. You've got Maximilian Wuber to Leeds. Are there any updates on that? I saw that you were tweeting about it the other day.
It's almost done. Yes, we just wait for the contracts to be signed, but they're preparing the paperwork and everything. So Leeds and Salzburg have an agreement in place. It's around 12 million plus add-ons. So there is an agreement ready between the two clubs, agreement ready with the player. Wuber is ready to make his move to the Premier League. Jesse March knows him very well and wanted him as new signing for Leeds. So we just wait for the player to complete the second part of the medical and for contracts to be signed, but Wuber will be new Leeds signing.
Excellent stuff. And to bring it back to the main topic of today, Arsenal, you've got Rexy here saying about a month ago, there were many reports about Arsenal and Ndicka reaching a pre-agreement. Do you have anything on that topic? Ndicka himself, quite an interesting subject as well. There was a lot of interest in him. That seems to have cooled a little bit. But do you think he's somebody that could be of interest to the likes of Arsenal and perhaps other European clubs, maybe more with an eye to the summer window?
I think we got many rumors about him, because in Italy we also had the same kind of rumor with Roma and many other clubs around Europe. It's normal when a player, important player like Ndicka, is free agent, is normal to have this kind of stories of links. I'm told that he has no pre-agreement with any club at the moment. The player is still available. He's speaking to clubs. We will see if Arsenal will decide to proceed. They had some conversations months ago with his agents. They have good relationship, but also many other clubs in Italy, in England. So it's absolutely an open race for Ndicka, and I think he will wait a bit to decide his future club. So it's still not time to say that it's done for Ndicka.
Fantastic stuff. Well, that's pretty much all that we have time for. So, thanks a lot to Fab, first of all, for taking the time to answer your questions and go over a lot of topics of interest to Arsenal fans and others. But also thanks a lot to you guys as well for listening to House of Champions. Please take a minute to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. In fact, we're also available as video, so subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Wishing you a happy and prosperous 2023 from all the team. Fab, final thoughts. Thanks so much once again for coming and joining us.
Thank you as always, and see you soon again here on House of Champions. We will have many news to share in the next days and weeks, so get ready and see you soon. So
looking forward to it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.